We're talking with Tom Neiman from Neiman's Tree Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. He's been growing Christmas trees there since the late 1970s. Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure, glad to be of assistance.
For someone who's thinking about putting in a Christmas tree enterprise on their property, obviously this is something that takes time. The trees take time to grow, but then there's also time that should be spent planning. You've had a lot of years doing this, and maybe talk a little bit about some of the mistakes that either you've made in the process or that you see other people making as they think that they might want to do a Christmas tree enterprise.
Well, I think it's like any other business that when you get into it, you have you imagine what it's going to be, and ultimately it turns out to be almost the antithesis of what you thought it was going to be. But that's part of the fun. The main issue you've got, say, assuming that you have a piece of property, and then is knowing what kinds of trees are going to grow, you know, on that property. And so you got a twofold problem, knowing what to grow and then being able to figure out whether that particular species is going to be marketable, whether it's going to be something that people want. So it doesn't do you any good to have 10,000 trees and no market. So you got to figure it both of them at the same time.
And what are the species of trees that you grow or maybe specialize in there in Lexington?
Well, we're kind of unique in Kentucky in that we're growing Fraser fir. Fraser fir are totally out of their environment here. They belong in either North Carolina in the mountains of northwestern North Carolina, or up around, you know, Michigan, Minnesota, you know, the cooler climates up there. Neither of which we have here. We don't have the altitude, nor do we have the cool climates. So for us, it was a 20-year trial and error. We started with Scotch pine, Douglas fir, and balsa fir, and things like that. And then all the while then experimenting with varieties to see which ones were going to provide us with the kind of tree that we were looking for. And we wound up with Fraser fir, and then with the help of University of Kentucky, the people there, the soils people, the plants people, the entomologists, you name it, and then Weyerhaeuser Lumber Company out in Seattle. Among them, we finally figured out how to grow the Fraser fir then, and that's what we basically specialize in that. We've got other things, but not very many.
Once somebody's arrived at the species that'll work for their property and location and market, what are some of the big issues in Kentucky's region in terms of production, like insects, diseases, those kinds of things as the trees mature?
Well, yeah, that's you know, another issue. Insects, you know, the standard things, you know, bagworms and scale, and, you know, and things like that. And then we're trying to go as organic as possible, and we're pretty close to being totally organic now, and which means then you're not using the standard insecticides and things like that. So that's going to be an issue. It's a constant issue. But I think the major issue is when you plant a tree, you get a 1 or 2 or 3 year seedling, and then you're looking at 7 or 8 years before you've got a marketable product. And so if you're going to be in the business, you have to be able to carry that for 7, 8 years before you got income coming back. So for the first 7, 8 years or so, it's all outgo and no income. And that's really difficult. And,
so
that's why we... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to observe that not only do you have that soil preparation and selecting everything right, but it, as you just said, there's a negative cash flow for the first 7 or 8 years of the whole enterprise.
So. Right. And so what we did, we, for the first 10, 15 years, did a lot of what we call landscape trees that we would dig, you know, for, you know, people's yards and things like that. And we did a lot of things like that, and we wholesaled a lot of trees out like that. And that managed, then we managed the cash flow in that way until the Christmas trees got big enough, and then we had to start to market them and develop the market in that way. So for the first 7, 8 years, we were sitting here doing, you know, for Christmas trees, doing nothing.
You mentioned developing the market. You're right there in Lexington, so you've got population nearby. But talk about a little bit about what you've learned there in terms of what works well for marketing Christmas trees to people in your area.
Well, I think it's probably like a lot of other areas. My brother has a very large Christmas tree farm up in Cincinnati, Ohio. And so, you know, we and my parents were in it, you know, for years up there. And what I think the primary issue is quality product, you know, the quality of the product itself. If you've got a very, very good tree, then people will flock to you to get to it. Compared to, say, the pre-cut trees that are on, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot and all the lots and things like that, you can't compare ours. I mean, ours don't even compare. They're so much better. And people know that. And once they find that out, they come out, and then it's basically word of mouth. And for us, we have people coming. Well, we're in Lexington. They come from Louisville, which is about 90 miles away. They come from Cincinnati. They come from Knoxville and Nashville, all over, just to get a tree from us because of the quality.
And you've probably seen, you certainly see multiple generations coming to get the trees, but you've probably served multiple generations of customers here over the years, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the interesting thing for us is that some of the young men that work for us now came out here when they were 4 and 5 years old with their parents. And they came back every year, and they finally, you know, get up enough nerve and say, you know, Mr. Neiman, when we get old enough, can I come and work for you in your Christmas tree patch? And so I think we have 6 or 7, 8 employees now, and 4 or 5 of them are people like that, where they grew up as little boys, you know, and came out here and now work for us because they like it so much.
Certainly, there's a lot of help involved when you're selling the trees in the late fall and winter there. When are the other high labor times for a Christmas tree enterprise after the planting, of course?
Well, we plant, if we can, we plant in late March. But this year, because of the rain, we didn't plant until late April. And then from then on, then it's keeping the mow down, keeping the, you know, the weed population down. And then right around, after 4th of July, generally the first or second week in July, we start to prune them. And so, like, we have about 15,000 trees here, and they each have to be pruned. And we're kind of purist. We prune them by hand. We don't use pruning devices or things like that. We just use standard pruning shears. And it's a little bit harder and takes a little longer, but the quality of the tree is so much better. And we're willing to do that just because of the quality. But the pruning takes, you know, a long time, and it's a lot of work.
And for your, how many pruners do you have working out there in the summer then on your farm?
Oh, we're very particular. There's my son, myself, and one other guy, one of the young men who's coming up through the system who prunes with us. And that's it. I won't let anybody else touch a pruner. No way. Because I'm so particular.
For someone that may be... I was just going to ask, for someone that may be new to tree farming, what are the best ways to learn pruning?
Go talk to somebody like me or somebody that knows what they're doing, like my brother in Cincinnati or people like that. People are pretty good. Well, I'll tell you anything you want to know. And if you want to come out and learn to prune, I'll show you how to prune. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, but I'll show you how to do it. And I can show you then the quality of the product. Like in our nursery, our tree farm, people will come and say, well, we just want a Charlie Brown tree. And we're saying, sorry, we don't have a Charlie Brown tree. Every tree in our patch is a letter perfect tree. They're beautiful. And we'll stand by them, and we do. And so people, they're really good. At Christmas time, they come out, and it takes them about 2 minutes to pick out a tree. They say, oh, that tree over there looks good, fine. And then we cut it for them, we load it for them, we do everything. They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to get out of their car. They can drive the car right to the patch and just point if they want. And then our guys take care of everything. And so not only do we have a very, very good product, but we have first-class service. And service is another really big issue. See, our clients don't, all out of 1,000 trees, maybe we'll have maybe people cut 5 trees themselves, 5 or 10 trees. That's it. The rest we cut. They don't want to cut them. And they don't want to load it. They don't want to mess with them. We do everything. And they're quite willing to pay for that. And they appreciate it.
Well, Tom Neiman from Neiman's Tree Farm in Lexington has been doing this for a long time, and some good words of advice and counsel for someone who may be looking at this for the first time. This is not a business that you get into without lots of planning and lots of time until the cash flow begins. So thanks for those reminders, and thanks for all that you've done there in Lexington to grow these high-quality Christmas trees for so long.
And anybody, if they're in the area and they want to stop by and talk to me or call me up, I'm more than willing to talk to them. I'll help anyone. I'd like to see the industry grow. And we're about business, and we want to see people do it. When I get too old, I want to see somebody carry on.